Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Some of you who maybe aren't familiar with Pentecost or Pentecostal doctrine, talking about the Holy Spirit can be something that we get extremely weirded out about when it's not supposed to be that. Yes, it's something that's extremely, he is someone, I should say, who is extremely difficult to understand at times and mysterious. But the Holy Spirit is God. And the other part I wanted to get out of that was that the Holy Spirit is not just for us adults. The reason I wanted children to be in here this morning is because all over the world, children are being filled with the Holy Spirit, but for some reason in America, we tend to hold back with preaching that to them and praying for them to receive. And this morning, my hope is that God will be able to do what he wants to do in America in this little church. That he can come down and fill us anew this morning. So to start out this morning, I wanted to quickly read a passage of Scripture. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the story of Pentecost. It is the account of what happened on the day that the Holy Spirit was first poured out. We find in the second chapter of Acts, that all of Jesus' disciples were meeting together in one place. History tells us there were probably about 120 of them total, the 12 apostles and then 108 others that were a mix of men, women, and children. And they were all together in one place praying. And we read in the first verse of chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, as I just said. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the tongues of fire came to set and rest on each of them. And it says that who was filled with the Holy Spirit? All of them. Every person that was in that room was filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I think before I go into detail on what exactly we're talking about there, I want to go into detail about what Pentecost really is. Now, Pentecost here in our church, we tend to think of it as the day the Holy Spirit was outpoured, but originally, Pentecost was a celebration in Jewish culture. Pentecost was a celebration of the giving of the law. And it happened 50 days after the celebration of the Exodus. So the Israelites, the Jewish people, were told by Moses to celebrate the fact that they were freed from slavery and bondage, and then 50 days later celebrate the giving of the law, the showing of God's righteousness. And I think it's crazy to think about the fact that Jesus died and rose again on the day that they celebrated the Exodus. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, God chose to pour out his Holy Spirit. Why do you think God would choose to do it on exactly that amount of time? Why do you think God would choose to say, all right, this is the day you celebrate the law, but today I'm going to bring the Spirit? You see, as I was praying about this, and this is obvious to some, probably most of us in this room, but the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost to confirm the fact that God was putting in place a new covenant. You see, up until the time of Jesus, people were living according to the law. We lived by the law. We died by the law. It was law, law, law. It was do this, don't do that. It was memorize the Ten Commandments. It was let's make sure that we don't offend God so that we can please God. All good things. But obviously, we came to the place where we realized it was impossible to live up to the law. And God, in His awesome grace and His power, sent His Son to do that for us, if we simply believe in Him. But Jesus showed us a new way to live. He didn't just come to die for our sins. He came to show us what real life was. He came to show us what we were created to be. He came to show us the awesome relationship with God that we could have. Because the Bible teaches us that Jesus emptied Himself when He came to earth and took on the appearance of a man. And I think we don't realize or remember that what He did by the power of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus did on this earth was not done just because He was God. It was done because He was indwelt by the Holy Spirit Himself. And what God said when He brought the Holy Spirit and baptized all those people on the day of Pentecost was, He said that, look, yes, this was truly My Son, and now you can live like Him. And now you can have the same intimacy with Me that He has with Me. And now you can have the same power that He walked in. And now you can be free. I'm taking away the law, and I'm putting in place the law of the Spirit. That you no longer have to keep a list of do's and don'ts, but you can simply walk in obedience to My Holy Spirit. That is a crazy difference. Who here is an amazing memorizer? Brendan, I know you are. Who here has a great memory? I bet you can quote the Ten Commandments to me. Can you? No, but I bet in a day or two you could if you looked at them. Yeah. Brendan, could you quote them? All right, let's hear it. Okay, we got three. Are you one ahead of me? Or are we both on seven? Okay. I'm already losing track. That just shows you what kind of brain I have. Okay. Did I miss? Got two more? Anybody want to help him out? Well, anyway. The point is, even some of us who have the most natural inclination to be kept by the law cannot be kept by the law. The point is that if you and I were left to try and serve God by memorizing His word and by in perfect obedience, we would all fail, and we all have failed. But Jesus set in stone, or set in process in stone, whatever you want to call it, a new way, a new life. And it is life by the Spirit. And that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, the one who came on the day of Pentecost, came so that we could have power and intimacy with God. You find in the book of Luke, chapter 24, that Jesus comes back to life and he's hanging out with his disciples. He shows himself to them. And he shows them the holes in his hands and his feet. He shows them his wounds. And he begins to tell them that all this had to take place. He begins to show them that this is what I was talking about the whole time I was on earth. This was going to happen. This was what I had to do in order for you to be saved. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verses 36, well, I'm going to start in 46 through 48. He says, he's explaining it to the disciples, and he says, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. And on the third day, he will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Talking to his disciples, he says, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Here he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the power to be his witnesses in all of the world. You see, so often, I think people in our culture, we go to this, why do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We start asking questions like this. You know, well, that whole Holy Spirit thing, that kind of weirds me out. People speaking in tongues, I don't really know how to wrap my mind around that. What do I really need that for anyway? Why would I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And Jesus says that you are filled with the Holy Spirit so that you would have power to be his witnesses. So that you would have power. So you would have courage. So that he could give you words, as this little skit said. So that you would know what to say when the time is right. So that you could be closer to God. Throughout the entire New Testament, there are stories of people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. There are stories of groups of people. There are stories of singular people. Everybody filled with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of having power and having intimacy with God at a greater level. But it seems like for some reason, some of us, we've come to the altar, we've said, God, fill me, and we feel like nothing's happened. Some people have questioned it so much that they haven't even asked for it. We've said to ourselves, I can serve Christ just fine the way I'm doing things now. We're missing out on a simple truth, that it is impossible for any of us to serve Christ without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to serve him in your own strength. It is impossible to do what he wishes, to know what he wants, if you're still doing it in your own strength. Isaac, it's impossible for you to reach your friends if you're doing it in your strength. Maybe this is hard for you to understand because you're a strong person. Maybe you're like me, and in high school or whatever, college and all those things, you know, you were pretty successful. You were able to be a star of an athletic team, or maybe you were honor roll in your academics, or maybe you were cream of the crop. And everybody looked to you and said, wow, there's a strong person. They're going to be somebody when they grow up. And you know what? You proved them right. And you were something when you grew up. And you are something. And you know what your giftings are and your strengths are, and you walk in them well. But serving God and being successful in this world do not go the same. Pleasing God only comes through perfection. And you and I don't have it. You and I don't have the righteousness that God desires. You and I don't have the love for people that God needs in order to reach a hurting world. But God made provision for that when he said, I'm going to send my helper. I'm going to send you what the Father promised, Jesus said. But still, we get all mixed up in our motives when it comes to asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. Maybe you're that type of person who you've looked at somebody and you said, oh, I really admire their faith. Maybe you've looked at Pastor Randy and said, I really admire this guy. He walks with God so closely, and I've seen him pray in tongues. And he preached a message that was powerful. And I believed him, and I said, I want to pray in tongues so that I can be close to God like that. Or so that I can be like him. And we can get our motives all twisted, saying that I want to be like Pastor Randy, or I want to be like some other Christian that I admire that is well known in the world. Or maybe we look at the baptism in the Holy Spirit and we think to ourselves, I just want to have power. Man, if I had the Holy Spirit in my life, I would be way more powerful than I am now. People would admire me. People would look at me and go, wow, they're close to God. Or maybe it's any number of things that are just a little bit off. But when our motives are off, it's hard for God to answer our prayers. When our hearts are not pure before him, when we're not sincere in what we're asking him for. We can be insincere when we just ask God, I want to speak in tongues. Because we are putting the emphasis on the gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit, the evidence, instead of being focused on God himself, being focused on the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, I want to surrender everything to you. I want you to take my life, do whatever you want with it. Come and fill me. How often have we come up to this altar and said, God, I want to speak in tongues, I want to speak in tongues, and we're sitting there trying to speak in tongues the whole time instead of trying to be filled? Our denomination has a history of sometimes getting the emphasis on the wrong things. And I'm not here to say that speaking in tongues is wrong. I do it. I speak in tongues all the time. I pray to God that way. That is a prayer language that he gave me so that I could be closer to him. But it wasn't the prayer language that really brought me closer. It was the baptism. It was the filling of God's Spirit that brought me closer. And as a result, I got my prayer language. But I didn't go up to the altar saying, God, give me a prayer language. I said, God, do whatever you want with my life. You see, so often we come to God and we're saying, fill me, but we're so filled with other things. We're so filled with the busyness of this life. We're so filled with our businesses, our jobs, our families. And I'm not saying those things are bad, but we've got to get to a place again where we can say, God, do whatever you want with me. We've got to get to a place of surrender where we say, God, I know I can't please you. I've been trying to do it. I've been trying to reach my friends, but I know that in myself I can't do it. Maybe you're like me and you've gone through a season of life where God just keeps showing you how incapable you are. That is a hard season. That is a hard season where God says, listen, I know you really want to reach this town, but you can't do it. That can be demoralizing on one side and sobering. And in recent days, I've been so fed up with my own weakness that I've finally started praying again. God, fill me. God, do what you can only do. We think about the fruits of the Spirit, and we start thinking about, oh, I've got to gain patience. I've got to gain perseverance. I've got to become self-disciplined, and we forget that these are fruits. Tell me something. Can a tree produce a fruit by thinking about producing a fruit and focusing on producing a fruit? A tree will only produce fruit if it's got its roots in the right place. If it's got its roots set deep into good soil, and there's sun coming down upon it, and there's water being watered. It's not the tree sitting there going, I got to produce this fruit. It's just being connected to the source. When are we going to become a people who looks out around us and sees the world and our hearts break and it motivates us to have more of God? See, I know I need God to fill me because I have a vision of what God wants to do. I know I need to be baptized in His Spirit daily. I need to be filled up every morning, or the purposes that God has put in my heart are not going to come to fruition. Maybe you haven't received the baptism yet because you haven't realized how badly you really need it, or how much, or for what reason you need Him. I think of it this way. It's kind of like when Katie and I first started dating. I first started dating and I thought to myself, I really like this girl. I'd like to marry her. I really love her. And for whatever reason, God separated that relationship for a period of time. Broke my heart. God said, put it on hold. And in that time of testing and waiting, I didn't give up. Well, I shouldn't say that. I kind of did at one point. But I remember one day when I was so heartbroken over the fact that we weren't together because I was so focused on just having this person that I broke down with God and I began to pray and I began to say, God, what's going on here? And I honestly was crying like a little baby in a room by myself. And God showed up and He showed me a vision of her holding my son, who I know now is James. He showed me the fruit of what that relationship would bring. He showed me that that relationship wasn't just for my pleasure, it was for a purpose to multiply, to bring somebody else into this world. The Holy Spirit is not just something we do so that we can have more. If you really want more of God, then you need to surrender everything to Him. And it's not easy all the time, because we have busy lives. We have full lives. But if you're anything like I am lately, the more I'm in this town, the more I see the world of hurt that people are in. The more I see students in our schools who are doing things to themselves, who are getting involved in premarital relationships, who are abusing drugs and alcohol and doing whatever they can to fill something. And my heart breaks more and more, and I have this burden, this vision for this city that God could change things. But I know that's not going to happen unless the Spirit of God is released in my life more than it is now. Because we can do a lot of things in our human flesh, in our human effort. And we can burn ourselves out, working our butts off, trying to help people, but without the Spirit of God moving through us, it will not bear fruit. There's an entire city out here, outside of these doors, outside of these walls. I don't know about you, but man, I wish they were all in here. And it's not because I want to be part of a big church. It's because I don't want people to hurt because I've been there. I don't want them to live with that emptiness because I've been there. And I know the difference when the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. And I'm not talking about that moment when you first put faith in Jesus. I'm talking about the moment where you come to Jesus and you say, I am nothing and you are everything. Where you start saying, I have nothing to give these people and you have everything. Would you fill me? Would you baptize me new? Would you give me power? Because there's a dying world out there. I can't sit by. We can't be a church that is not filled with God. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, He's able to show you the heartbeat of God, what breaks His heart. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, He's able to help you communicate with God and bring you closer. He helps you pray. This whole tongues thing that everybody gets weirded out about, it's just God helping you pray when you don't know what to pray. And I had the privilege of being a part of an outreach down in Florida. We went from door to door and we had these little tracts. You know what a tract is, right? The little piece of paper that tells you what to say to them. This was early in my faith. We had these little tracts and we would go door to door. And we'd knock on the door and we'd say, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Jake. I just want to say, hey, has anyone ever told you that God loves you and He has an amazing plan for your life? And we went through this list thing. And we went door to door and met all these different people. And I'll never forget this one where I knocked on the door and there was this dude. He had like dreadlocks. He was just, well, honestly, he was high. So let's just say that. I knocked on the door. I said, hey, man, how's it going? I'm Jake. I just want to tell you God loves you. He has an amazing plan for your life. And dude just invites me in. And he takes me out to their back porch where there's like three guys smoking. Yeah. And I'm standing there and I'm going, what an amazing situation. I'm standing here with three guys and I've got this little script. And they're all like, all right, let's hear it. You know, they're just sitting there, just chilling. And I began to just tell them, you know, I kind of veered off the script. That's usually not supposed to be perfectly what you say, but it helps you get started anyway. And I'm sharing with them God's love for them and the fact that they need Him. And two of them, I can see in their eyes the tears starting to well up. And the script tells you at one point to bow your head and ask them, yeah, can I pray for you about anything? And then you start praying. And while you're praying for them, you say, listen, if you would like to accept Jesus as your Savior right now, would you pray with me? And then at the end, you lead them and you say, as a minister of the gospel of Christ, by your confession of faith in Jesus, I now pronounce that you are saved from your sins and will spend eternity with God in heaven. And if that was all it was, I wouldn't share this story. But after that, we would have these like block parties. And they'd invite everybody from these apartment buildings down into the block party, and they would have a picnic and give people free food and reach out to them. And they would have their students. I was not a part of this program. I was visiting a friend. They would have their students share the gospel. And they would share the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to them. They would share the love of God that is available to them and the intimacy with God that is available to them. And I never heard them talk about tongues once. And they would start preaching it and people would come up and then they'd start speaking in tongues. I'm not against doctrine. I love doctrine. But my goal this morning is not to preach doctrine at you. It is to preach reality. That the Holy Spirit wants to fill each and every person in this room this morning. Maybe you've been filled before and your tank's on E. It's time to refill it. It's time to allow God to have everything again. That is the difference between the living church and the dead church. The living church has the living God inside of them. Because we can have activities until we're blue in the face. But if the Holy Spirit is not involved, if he's not doing work, as Brock said to me this morning, Jake, do work this morning. And I said, oh, God's going to do that. That's his job. It's Pentecost Sunday. We're celebrating, in essence, the anniversary of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't fully understand it, or maybe you feel like you haven't been answered in prayer, that if you put your faith in God this morning and say, God, I want you. Holy Spirit, I want you to baptize me. Empty me of all the things in my life that are holding me back from being your witness to this world. If you come to him with a pure heart, pure motives, not for personal gain, not like Simon the sorcerer who, when he saw the apostles laying their hands on people and then being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, here's some money, I want that power. They said to him, may your money perish with you, for your mind is not on the things of God, but on the things of men. And you are full of bitterness and jealousy, whatever the other word was. God needs to fill us this morning.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.